I want to kind of review a little bit with you what we covered last week, and we want to dive into this lesson tonight. We've kind of surveyed the Bible last summer, this summer, and we've been going through, we've been seeing Satan's policy of evil and how he usurped the earth, the heavenly places, and he's got his dominion set up. But anyway, last week what we talked about was this. Somebody tell me tonight, who was the apostle that was part of the 12, and by transgression he fell, and then he went out and he hung himself? Somebody tell me, which one was it?
Judas.
There were two Judases, right? Judas Iscariot, correct. Now, can anybody tell me who was the man that replaced Judas Iscariot to be one of the 12? Who was the man?
Matthias.
That's correct. Matthias. Can anybody tell me who was it in Acts chapter 1 that said, hey, we've got to replace Judas, we got to get the number back up to 12, and he kind of led the way with the other 10 guys, and they appointed Matthias to be the 12th. Can anybody tell me which apostle kind of headed that thing up? Peter did, right. And Peter has come under a lot of really bad publicity for that. Through the years, people have said, well, Peter made a big mistake when he ordained Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot and to be one of the 12. He made a huge blunder. He made a huge mistake. He was out of the will of God. He did the wrong thing. And of course, the reason why they say that is because Acts chapter 9, can anybody tell me who is the apostle that's very well known that got saved in Acts chapter 9? The apostle Paul. And so people say, well, see there, Paul, he was chosen by God to be the 12th apostle. Peter made a mistake. Matthias, that was just man, you know, but Jesus Christ wanted Paul to be that 12th apostle. And so they say Peter really messed up and he really got ahead of God and he made a big mistake. And we looked at that last week. Now we know there had to be 12. Now that part we know. We know there had to be 12 apostles. And hopefully you remember why, right? Let's bring up a chart real quick here and this will kind of demonstrate. We know that if we look at the chart, we know here starting on the left that there was a kingdom that was prophesied that would be right here on the earth, and Israel would be the channel through which that kingdom would come to the earth. Israel would be the channel that God would use. We know that when Christ came with the 12, he said, they preached to Israel, your kingdom is at what? Hand. We know that they crucified Christ, he rose from the dead. We know that again, the apostles go out and they preach the kingdom to Israel there in the early part of Acts. Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand is that when the kingdom comes to the earth, and you remember he taught them to pray, thy kingdom what? Come. And when that kingdom comes down here to this earth, Jesus Christ very clearly told, if you look to the right, the far right of the chart, he clearly told the 12 in Matthew 19 and in other places. He said, you 12 are going to sit on 12 thrones, and in the kingdom, there's going to be 12. Christ is going to be on his throne. And then Christ said there would be 12 thrones, and from those 12 thrones, the 12 apostles would judge the what? 12 tribes of Israel. Right. How many tribes of Israel are there? 12. So there had to be how many apostles? 12. There had to be 12. Peter knew that. Peter had gotten the instruction. He knew. He knew there had to be 12. And we know that Peter was not out of the will of God when he appointed Matthias in Acts chapter 1 to replace Judas Iscariot. Now, having said that, was Paul chosen by Christ to be an apostle, yes or no? What you have to understand, and I said this quickly last week, and I want to elaborate a little bit on this. There are more apostles than the 11. I'm taking Judas Iscariot out. There's more apostles than the 11 and Paul. We know that Barnabas is said to be an apostle. We also know that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about the resurrection and everybody who saw Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he says that Christ was first seen of the 12. He says then later he was seen by James and all of the apostles. So James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He's said to be an apostle. And then Paul says he was seen of all the apostles. We don't know how many that there were, but there were many apostles. Now, there was a distinct 12 that we know that he chose to be on those 12 thrones. But there were many apostles. So what I'm trying to get you to see is that it's not this little simplistic thing where it's like, oh, okay, there were 11 because Judas fell, and then there's only one other one that Christ called, Paul, to be an apostle, so Peter messed up. Now, I'm wanting you to see there were many, many apostles more than just Paul and those 11. So we know that Paul was chosen to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. But listen, not one of the 12. God had a very separate and a distinct apostleship that was to be very, very different than the 12. For example, just to give you an illustration, I'm a pastor, he's a pastor here. Pastor Rich, he's a pastor, Pastor Shannon. So we've got three pastors right here in the room. Do we have all three of us? We're all three pastors, just like there were, you know, apostles, but we're pastors. Does that mean because we're pastors and we're pastors at Crossroads, does that mean that we have the same position, the same role, and the same function, yes or no? No. We have different roles and different functions. So just the fact that we're pastors doesn't mean that we're identical and that we are doing the exact same things and functioning the exact same way. Yes, we're pastors, different roles, different functions, different positions. And in the same way, there are the 12 apostles. You've got Paul also, who's an apostle, and yes, they're apostles, just like we're all pastors. But just because they're apostles doesn't mean that they've got the same function. That doesn't mean they have the same role. God had a very distinct role, a very distinct and separate apostleship and function for the apostle Paul that would not be like the 12. Isn't it interesting that when the Lord chose Paul, think with me now, put on your thinking caps, as they used to say in school. When Christ chose Paul, how did he choose him? When he chose Paul in Acts 9 to be an apostle, okay, when Paul got saved and all that happened, can anybody tell me where was Christ when all that happened? Where was he? Where was Jesus Christ when Paul was called? Where? He was in heaven. He appeared. You remember Paul called it the heavenly vision? He appeared to Paul from heaven. I think I showed you this chart last week. Can we bring it up again? There you have a chart that will show you Christ's appearances. We know that he appeared on the earth in Bethlehem and he lived for 33 years on this earth. We know that he made post-resurrection appearances for 40 days to over 500 people. All that was prophesied. We know if you go to the right, one day he's going to come down to the earth and make an appearance again, a glorious appearance. And he's going to come down to the earth and he's going to appear and he's going to establish a kingdom on this earth. We know that. That's all been prophesied. But if you look up at the top, you'll notice it says that Christ appears to Paul from where, church?
Heaven.
That was unprophesied. That you will not find, that was an unexpected appearance of Jesus Christ. I mean, things are ticking along in the book of Acts. Israel has rejected the apostles and rejected the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden in Acts 9, Christ shows up unexpectedly. And he shows up to his chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus, who we know as the Apostle Paul. And he shows up and Paul, he appears to Paul. Paul becomes a mighty apostle. But it's interesting that when he called Paul, he didn't come down to the earth and talk to Paul. He appeared to Paul from heaven. Paul called it the heavenly vision. Well, that makes sense, because Paul's apostleship would not pertain to God's earthly program for Israel. Paul's apostleship would involve an entirely different, new, unprophesied dispensation, a time period that would involve God's plan to repossess the heavens. And that's why he appeared to Paul from heaven. There was a heavenly purpose in what he was about to do. If you look at that white parentheses up there, that grace period, that's where we're at. There was a heavenly purpose in giving this grace period, which we haven't even studied yet, okay? And we're going to get to that in the coming weeks. But there was this grace period that was going to involve a heavenly purpose. And so Paul is called by Jesus Christ to be an apostle from heaven. There are some very important and some very obvious differences between the apostleship that God gave to Paul and the apostleship that he gave to the 12 apostles. Very, very crucial. If you're going to be a student of that book, you've got to recognize the differences. You know, when we talk about rightly dividing, which we did Sunday night at the ordination, when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, what that is it's seeing things, it's recognizing there are divisions in the Bible, recognizing that the Bible is a book of progressive revelation, and that God never changes, but his dealings with mankind change. And so rightly dividing means you recognize those differences and you let them be different. It's okay for them to be different. It's okay, like for example, Sunday night after the ordination, Denise made pork tenderloin sandwiches. Now, is there a time period in that Bible when I would have been out of the will of God if I had eaten that? Yes, there is a time period in the Bible when I would have been out of the will of God, and it would have been an abomination to God to have eaten that sandwich. I praise God I was in the center of his will as I ate that sandwich Sunday night. I gave thanks and I partook, and I know from 1 Timothy I'm in the will of God. Amen. 1 Timothy, he said, man, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Can I get an amen? Let's go eat. All right. What do we got tonight? Ooh, chicken. All right. That's good too. All right. Chicken taco soup. That sounds good. But yeah, you know, what am I saying? There's things in the Bible you got to distinguish. There's things that are different and you just got to recognize those and you got to let them be what they are. And don't try to make everything fit in this little box. Don't try to make everything fit in that parentheses, because it's not all going to fit there. You know, so for example, I'll bring up another chart. This is a chart I've used before. And this is just we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just wanted to quickly show you this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you compare. Now, they wrote the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote the Gospels. But this is a chart that just kind of shows you quickly some of the difference between them and Paul. They wrote down some of the words that Christ spoke on earth. Paul, he wrote down all the words that Christ spoke from heaven. They wrote down Christ's words spoken specifically to Israel. We know he came to minister to Israel. They wrote those words down. Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken specifically to the church, to us, the body of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote down Christ's words spoken while they were still living under the law. It was before he ever died on the cross. Most of what they wrote of his words were before the cross, which means it was under the law. We know that Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken while dwelling in his exalted position in heaven after his cross work and after the law was declared dead. We know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote down Christ's words spoken on earth as the Messiah, the King of Israel. That's what they preached him as. That's what they wrote down. He was the Messiah, King of Israel. Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken from heaven as the rejected king and the head of a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. So I just kind of threw that up there because I wanted you to see rightly dividing the word is very important. You have to recognize these differences and these distinctions. So what I want to do is I just want to take a few more minutes here and I want to point out a couple of major distinctions for you between the 12, okay, Matthias being part of that, and Paul. I want to draw out the distinctions between the 12 and between Paul, right? Here's the first one. The first difference is this. The 12 were called to be apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Paul was called to be an apostle by the unexpected reappearing of Christ from heaven. In Acts 9:1, it says that Paul said that there shined round about him a light from heaven. He said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. When Christ called Paul, he called him from the heavenlies. When Christ chose the 12, he did that while here on earth. I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And let's begin reading in verse number 8. All right. And by the way, there's that verse I told you about, verse 7. It says, after that, he's already mentioned the 12. He was seen of James and then of all the apostles. So there were many apostles. Verse 8, and last of all, he, Christ, was seen of me, Paul said, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, think about this for a minute. Okay, we know that whenever Christ called the 12, that's recorded for us in one spot in Matthew chapter 10. In fact, turn back there real quick because we're going to be in Matthew quite a bit tonight. So go ahead and grab Matthew chapter number 10. We'll turn over there real quickly. I wanted you to see when Christ called the 12, he called them while he was here on earth. They would receive their commission on earth. All right, look at it with me. They were taught by Christ during his earthly ministry for 3 years. All right, look at Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his, how many? 12 disciples. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Here it's 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12, and now what word is used? Apostles are these. And then he names the 12. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. So what I want you to see here is that the 12 received their commission on earth. Paul received his from heaven. In fact, think about this with me. Think about this. Christ's parting words to the 12. His parting words to them were spoken right before he ascended from the earth to where? To the heavens. When he ascended up, They're right there on the mountain. They watch him go up. What happens? The angels say to the guys, the 12, they say, hey, they give them a promise. And they say, just like Jesus Christ left the earth and went up to heaven, one day he will return from the heavens to the earth. That was a confirmation to them that Christ would, in fact, return and set up an earthly kingdom for Israel as he promised. When they said, now listen, when the angel said to those guys, as he's gone away, well, how'd he go away? From earth to heaven. Just as he's gone away, he will return in like manner. So if he went from, if I go from Daytona to Deland, and I return in like manner, then what do? I don't go from Deland to Orange City. What do? If I say I'm leaving Daytona and I'm going to Deland and I will return in like manner, that means I will return to what? To Daytona. They said he's going to do it in like manner. So if he left earth and went to heaven, then if he returns in like manner, he comes from heaven where? Back down to the earth. Are you with me tonight? Do you understand when they heard those words, they were not thinking about an event we call the rapture. They were not thinking of the event where they would be caught up, meet him in the heavens, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. That's not what the promise was. That is not what they were thinking about. That hadn't even been revealed yet. What they weren't thinking about that. No, because question, when he comes for us at the rapture, does he come down to the earth? Yes or no? No, he comes and descends to the heavens, and then he doesn't come down here. We are what? We're caught up to meet him where? In the air. Good. So they're not thinking of that. You say, well, what are they thinking about? When he said in like manner, he's going to go away, he's going to come back again. What are they thinking about? Look at Matthew 16. I'll show you exactly what they were thinking about. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 27. Now look at this. He's instructing them, folks. He's giving them earthly instruction. And in Matthew 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, for the Son of Man shall, what's the next word? Come, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there, he says, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his what? Kingdom. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19. What were they thinking about when he said when the angel said in like manner he's going to come back? Look at Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, Peter said to Jesus, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When he said to them, when the angel said in like manner as he's gone away, he's going to come back, they weren't thinking of the rapture. They were thinking of this event right here when he would split the heavens, come back down to this earth, establish his kingdom on this earth. They would be given 12 thrones and rule and reign with him in his kingdom here on this earth. He taught them to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it with me, thy kingdom come. They were looking for the kingdom to come. Now, on the other hand, Paul received his commission from Christ, not on the earth, like they did. He got his commission in the heavens. That's why he called it the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul's commission involved making known a new heavenly organism called the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, whose blessings, you know where our blessings are located? Man, I hope y'all do know that. Your blessings are not in your attic at your house. Did you know that? They're not in your garage. If you've rented, rental storage, they're not there. Your blessings are not there. What does the Bible say? For us in this time period, now remember the 12, they were looking for earthly blessings. They were looking for him to come, give them 12 earthly thrones, and they would be over an earthly kingdom. But on the other hand, what does the Bible say about us? The Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says that we are raised up with Christ to sit together in where? Heavenly places. What does Colossians 3 say? It says that we are not to set our affection on things of the earth, but he said, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. He says, that's where your blessings are. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you'll appear with him in glory. Y'all looking forward to that day, church? Amen. That's where your blessings are. So what am I doing? I'm just trying to show you some differences. I'm trying to show you Paul never was supposed to be one of the 12. I mean, the entire way they were called to be apostles is completely different. The 12 were called on earth. They were commissioned on earth. They're looking for an earthly return. Paul, on the other hand, he was called from heaven. And he was revealed to him that our blessings are heavenly. We're looking to be caught up to meet him in the heavens. So it's a completely different thing. So I want you to see this, the difference between Paul and the 12. He's distinct. He's separate. He's different. See what time it is. I got time for one. Okay. There's a second difference. Are you in Matthew still? Go to Matthew 10 and look at verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5. You know you're in bad shape when you can't see your Bible with your glasses on and you can't see your clock without your glasses on. So I got to take them off to read and put them on to see the time. And I know you guys want to make sure I put them on to see the clock. Amen. Put them on, Pastor Dan. Look, Matthew 10, look at verse 5. He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Remember, we were just here a minute ago. So these 12 Jesus sent forth. He commissions them, sends them out, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the what? Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. Now, question, was that Paul's commission? Did he get the exact same commission? He did not. He did not. You say, well, but this is before the cross and this is before the resurrection. Well, even after the resurrection, remember the 40-day window? Christ talked to the 12 for 40 days and he spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He made it very clear to those guys that their message that Christ is risen, it had to go to the land area of Israel first. God even specified the exact order in which the message was to go out. He said it's got to begin at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. So now you've encompassed all of the land area of Israel. So he says it's got to go there first. Then he said it's going to go to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, no doubt, eventually in their commission, The 12's message would eventually get to the Gentiles, but not until the land area of Israel received it first. Now, you hear a lot, and I'm sure you guys that have been raised in church and you've been in church a while, you hear Matthew 28:19 quoted a lot, and people call it the Great Commission. And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, whatever things I've commanded you for the last 3 years, that's what you're going to teach them. That's the instruction you're going to give them." Well, what's interesting about that is in the 40-day window after his resurrection, when he said that, Acts 1 tells you what he was talking about with them. He spoke of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:19, called the Great Commission by people, it's coined that phrase, that people don't realize he gave five different commissions in that 40-day window. And they don't all say the same thing. He gave them a commission in Matthew 28. He gave the 12 apostles a commission in Luke 24, Mark 16, John 21, in Acts chapter 1. They got five different great commissions in that 40-day window. And whenever you read Matthew 28:19 about going into all the nations, that didn't float in the Bible in a vacuum. That has to be taken in the context, number one, of all the other things he said in the 40-day window. And it also has to be taken in the context of the instruction that he gave them on earth for the last 3 years. Go to Matthew 10. Let me show you something real quick. Look at Matthew 10. Oh, you're already there. Look at Matthew 10 and look at verse 23. Well, let's go to verse 22. He's getting them ready. So he's preparing them for the last days. And he says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of what? Israel, till the Son of Man be what? Come." You see how you got to read Matthew 28 in the context of just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 10? You have to read it in context. And you have to read it in light of that fact. People read Matthew 28:19 and say, "See there, we just need to go out and get the gospel of the nations." Well, that's okay for application, but that was not the plan he gave them. It wasn't just, "Yeah, guys, I'm risen from the dead. Go out to whatever nation you want to and tell them about it." No, there was a kingdom program and order. Israel had to be converted first. They had to get it first. And he said, "You're going to evangelize the cities of Israel, and before you're done with that, I will have come." When Christ comes back down to the earth, then that all nations is going to happen. All the nations that survive and they go into the kingdom on earth will go through a very rigid and a very proactive discipleship program. All the nations are going to be taught. They're going to be instructed. They're going to have to obey certain commands and so forth in order to get into that kingdom. Because we know he separates the sheep from the goats when he comes back. And we know that the sheep go into the kingdom, the goats go into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the 12, their commission was very precise. It was, you're going to start in Jerusalem. That's the center. That's where the kingdom will be centered. You're going to go out from there to Judea, Samaria, and before you can even finish Israel, he says, "I'm going to come back." Then that discipleship plan is going to go out to all nations in the kingdom, and all the nations are going to be brought in and have to be taught and have to be instructed so they know how to function in that kingdom. Well, what about Paul? Well, I'm going to bring up a map here. Can we bring up the map? Look at this real quickly. I've only got a couple minutes. Stay with me. Paul gets saved in Acts 9. He begins his ministry by going into Damascus, which is right. I don't know if I have my pointer. I do. Here it is. Look at this. Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus, okay? And then look at this. He gets saved on the road to Damascus. This is not my night for things to work. Well, you see it. There it is. It's near the bottom there. He gets saved. It's going right back out. We need to get a new one, I guess. The light battery must be going bad. But he gets saved on the road to Damascus. He goes into Damascus. All right, we know that. Then he goes into Arabia, which is south of this. It's east of the Red Sea. He goes into a desert area of Arabia for 3 years. And there, obviously, he got instructions and more visions from Christ. Then, what's interesting, he goes to Jerusalem. Now, remember, please get this. This is, if you get this, it'll help you. Where were the 12 to begin their ministry? Jerusalem. They were to work for the conversion of the leadership of Israel there in Jerusalem. They were to begin at Jerusalem. Paul goes to Jerusalem. And immediately he's told by God, get out. Leave. Get out of here. But Christ, they're going to know. They're going to see my testimony. I got such an amazing testimony. I persecuted you and they know that. And now I can be the one to convert them. Get out. I'm sending you far hence to the Gentiles. The first 14 years Paul was saved, he only spent 15 days in Jerusalem. Out of 14 years, 15 days. You can read about that in Galatians 1. Now, if you look at the chart up here, or look at the map, Paul then, he said in Galatians 1, he went into the regions of Syria, up here, you see it, and Cilicia, which would be modern-day Turkey. He said, I was unknown by face to the churches in Judea, down there in Israel. He said, they didn't even know who I was. What I want you to see is that Paul did exactly opposite of what Christ told the 12. He wasn't part of the same program that they were part of. It was a different program. Just like I said, we're all pastors. Different function, different roles. Paul's a distinct, separate apostle from the 12. He does exactly opposite of what Christ told the 12. He said, you started Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria, and before you're done, I'll be back. Paul does just the opposite. He goes into Gentile territories. When he finally does get to Jerusalem, he's told, get out. Get out. His first recorded ministry was not in Israel at all. It was up here. You'll see Antioch. See the red dot? Antioch. That's Syria. That's Gentile territory. Then he goes out from Antioch on missionary journeys, and every one of his journeys, he's going out into Gentile countries. Now, did Paul have a passion? We know he was a Jew. Did he want to see his people accept Christ? Yes or no? Yes. He had a heart for that. But Christ made it very clear, Paul, the focus of your commission is not going to be the conversion of Israel. It's going to be to reach Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. He said that in Acts 22 and Acts 26. So the focus of Paul's commission was clearly different than the 12's. Now listen, I'm not up here reading that into the text. I'm not up here making this stuff up. The 12 themselves saw the distinction and recognized it. Look in Galatians 2. Now look up here at the screen. You don't have to turn. I've actually got it. Look at this. James, when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John. James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, when Paul said they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we, Paul and Barnabas, should go unto the what? Heathen. That's the Gentiles. And they, the 12, he said, they're going to go unto the circumcision. Who's the circumcision? It's Jews. It's Israel. So I'm not up here making this up. I mean, the 12 themselves got it, recognized it, said, yep, you've got a different commission. You've got a different message. You've got a different, whole different focus. We get it. We understand it. Got it. They gave them the right hands of fellowship and understood that. They got the difference. Isn't it a shame that most of Christendom doesn't get the difference? The 12 got it. Paul got it. But yet Christians want to throw everything in this box and make it like, you know, Paul and the 12 were just working together. They've never seen working together. It was two different commissions. Yes, they preached the same Christ. But we're going to see that the focus of how they preached Christ was even different. And we're going to look at that next week, okay? And the foundation of both of their messages was Jesus Christ. But we're going to see how they preached it, because one's preaching to Israel, the other's preaching to the Gentiles. And we're going to look at some more of this next Wednesday night, okay?